1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let me know when you get there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Okay. Let me hear an amen when you get there, please. Amen. Oh, all right, thank you. Now, put your finger there and turn left to Acts chapter 16. So you got your finger in 1 Thessalonians 5. Turn back to Acts chapter 16. And you thought you were just going to sit here and look at this pretty face. We're going to work out here today. All right? You in Acts 16 now? You got your finger in 1 Thessalonians 5? We're ready to rumble. All right. Last week we saw in Acts 16 that Lydia and the slave girl and the jailer, all different, but all needed the very same thing. They needed the Lord Jesus. He was the one that they needed. And we saw a picture of three different types of people, and they were reached in three different ways. Lydia was reached through a Bible study. The slave girl was reached through a dramatic experience in her life, and the jailer through seeing Christianity in action. And I gave you a takeaway point. Let's all say it together. What was the takeaway point? Is this thing not on? The takeaway point was nothing is more helpful than the gospel. There's nothing more helpful than the gospel. Now we see in Acts chapter 16, beginning in verse 34, the jailer brings Paul and Silas to his house. And it says, he set food before them and he rejoiced having believed in God with all his household. He is so thankful that he and his whole house had trusted the Lord. But it's interesting, the rulers find out that they are Roman citizens. They get all excited about this, and so they come and they apologize, and please, they said, why don't you just leave the city? Paul says, hey, hold it. You arrested us publicly, so you are going to release us publicly. I love the Apostle Paul. Look at verse 39. When they pleaded with him, they brought them out and asked them to depart from the city. So they left the prison and went to Lydia's house. And when they had seen the brothers and sisters, they encouraged and comforted them, and then they left. Wow. So we see thankful and grateful hearts, all of them rejoicing over their salvation. The jailer, the family of the jailer, Lydia, all of them, and they all got baptized. Here we go. This is really the crux of the Church of Philippi. This is where it all started. Now, that's an attitude I believe we all ought to have, an attitude of thanksgiving, an attitude of praise. As I said in the beginning, and as we've talked about, this is Thanksgiving season. But what is really so strange is that we seem as a nation to have forgotten what it's for. I've heard people, and I'm sure you've even used the term, it's Turkey Day, right? Anymore, it's that football day between Halloween and Christmas. I mean, that's kind of where we've gotten. And in fact, some people find it really hard to be thankful because of all the sufferings and the difficulties that they're experiencing. Life can be cruel, folks, and it can be painful. And for some, their circumstances almost seem unbearable. So how can we give thanks when we hurt so much? Well, I read from C.S. Lewis, who said, we ought to give thanks for all fortune, if it's good, because it is good. If it's bad, because it works in us patience and humility. Wow. Have you ever had one of those kind of days when everything goes wrong? You wake up on the wrong side of the bed, and things go from bad to worse. Sometimes it's not just a day. Sometimes it's a week. Sometimes it's a month. Sometimes it's a year. I mean, you never know. And nothing seems to work out. Everything is a mess. There are pressures and problems. They never seem to go away. It's like that old saying, if it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Well, I don't really believe in luck. Honestly, I don't. I think there's a plan and a purpose for everything, and even when I don't understand it all, God does. He told Jeremiah, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Folks, God doesn't expect us to understand everything that goes on in our lives. He said in Deuteronomy, the Lord our God has secrets known only to him. We are not accountable for them, but we are the children, as children are accountable forever, that the things he has revealed unto us, so that we may obey them, all the terms of these instructions. You see, sometimes God has some things that we will never understand this side of glory. And we just have to trust him that he knows what he's doing. But you know what? He does expect us to live a joyful life, a prayerful life, and a thankful life. He wants us to develop godly habits. Now, let me give you the definition of a habit. It is a settled or regular tendency or practice. Now, we all have experienced bad habits, right? You want to name some? Anybody want to? No, we don't want to name any bad habits, all right? Everybody understands bad habits, but let's look at some godly habits, all right? First, now, we're in Acts, turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Beginning in verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's interesting that that verb that is used there for the habits is in the present tense, which means it is a continual thing. It's something you're to do all the time, a regular part of your daily life. So I want to look at these three things. The first one is we're to develop a joyful attitude, a joyful attitude. That's what it says, rejoice always, rejoice evermore. And that Greek word rejoice, can be translated cheerful or joyful. It's the ability to have peace and calm when the circumstances around you are anything but peace and calm. And unlike happiness, which depends on the things that happen in your life, joy is not dependent upon your circumstances. We can choose to be joyful. In fact, a holy people are a joyful people, because isn't one of the fruit of the Spirit joy? Correct me if I'm wrong. That's what it is. Joyful people keep their mind inspired when the rough winds blow in their lives. They keep their minds focused on the things that are above, not on the muck and the mire of everyday things. That's what Paul said. Think on heavenly things. Think on things that are above. Now, this is not to say we're to ignore sadness and sorrow and pain. We're not supposed to do that. But we're to live knowing that God will walk with us no matter what happens in our lives. He's there in the good times. He's there in the bad times. No matter what. David put it perfectly. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Wow. God's faithfulness doesn't have a limited warranty either, folks. It's an unlimited warranty. It's not here today and gone tomorrow. He's with us always. He told Isaiah, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed. I'm your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Wow. That's our God. This should bring a sense of joy that can't be taken away by whatever's happening to us. We can always rejoice because we know that God is with us no matter what our circumstances are. So we're to develop a joyful attitude. Secondly, we're to develop a consistent prayer life. Verse 17 says we are to pray without ceasing. When you're in the will of God, you talk to God about everything. You really do. You talk to him about the little stuff. You talk to him about the big stuff. Most of us will talk to him about the big stuff, but we don't want to talk to him about the little stuff. Because, you know, God's a big God, and he's got the world to run. I mean, he doesn't need to hear about the fact that my toe hurts. Yeah, he does.
He made your toe.
No, I think I stubbed my toe. But anyway, he's our best friend. And we let him know about everything that's going on in our lives. But folks, it's not a habit that's developed overnight. Praying is hard work, folks. Distractions come at us from everywhere. I was sharing last night, went to bed early, which I normally do on Saturday nights. And I was just talking with the Lord and talking about all you guys. I mean, in a good sense, you know, I was just kind of praying for you. And right in the middle of my prayer, I hear ding. And I said, honey, did you hear that? And she said, no, I didn't hear it. I said, okay. So I lay my head down, and rather than continuing my prayer, I start thinking about that ding. Ding. She heard it the second time. So being me, I said, it's your phone. She got up, she came, walked down, she came back up. She says, wasn't my phone. I said, wasn't? She says, no, it was your phone. Oh. So in the midst of praying, in the midst of communicating with God, the least little thing can get us off track. And I spent the next 35 minutes thinking about the ding. Distractions come from all kinds of places. Now, what is prayer, folks? What's prayer? Communication with who? All right, we're talking to God, right? Our Heavenly Father. And we need to be thanking Him for our blessings. We need to be asking Him for our needs, to be praising God for His goodness, listening to Him for His guidance. I mean, those are all the things that are associated with prayer. It's a continual conversation. It's kind of an open phone line. See, I can pray with my head bowed, or I can pray with my head lifted up. I can pray with my eyes closed or my eyes open. Normally, I pray with my eyes open while I'm driving. You know, you don't want to close your eyes while you're driving. I pray when I'm alone. I can pray in a crowd. I can talk to God at any time, at any place. I can talk standing, or I can pray to Him standing, on my knees, on my face. I can do all of those things, and so can you. It's not an exclusive club. It really isn't. That's why the Bible says pray without ceasing. That's one of the holy habits that Christians need to develop. So, a joyful attitude, a consistent prayer life. And then Paul sums up our life as Christians with verse 18. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. So the third holy habit then we need to develop is a thankful heart. A thankful heart. Now, this verse does not say give thanks for every circumstance. It's not what it says. It says be thankful in everything. And the reason is because that's God's will for us. I talk with people who say, I really don't know what the will of God is. I mean, you know, you can read a lot of things and you really don't understand what God's talking about. Well, here it is. There's one of them. You want to know the will of God? In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God concerning you. To be thankful in all circumstances is to be aware that God really is in control and to trust Him even when bad things happen. Even when bad things happen, we're to give thanks in everything. So how can we live a life of gratitude and praise when the whole world seems to be coming at us? Well, first of all, it starts in our thought life. It really does. It begins when we take captive every thought. That's what Paul told the church at Corinth, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Gratitude grows out of an attitude of appreciation, humility, proper perspective. Jesus said, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Folks, I say it all the time. What's in you comes out of you eventually. You know, the old saying, well, I didn't mean to say that. No, you just didn't mean for it to come out. If you didn't mean to say it, it wouldn't have been in there, right? It's going to come out. And it's clear from this passage that thankfulness is supposed to be a regular part of our lives. We're to be thankful. We're to be thankful for our joy. We're to be thankful for our prayer. We're to be thankful in everything that we do. David said, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Well, I tell you, good is really a word that we need to expand on, because the Lord's more than good. The scripture paints a magnificent picture of our God, our awesome God. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the ending. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He's the bright and morning star. He's the great I am. And as the Lord of all the earth, you know what? He knows our name. Jesus said, my sheep know, I know my sheep by name, and they follow me. Wow. God said in Isaiah, I will not forget you. I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Everywhere God goes, everything God does, we are ever before him. But not only that, he knew us before we were born. We're familiar with Psalm 139, where David talks about, you have seen my substance before it was formed. And in your book, all were written, the days fashioned for me, as yet there were none of them. Before we were even conceived, folks, God knew us. He knows us completely. He knows everything that we do. He knows every detail of our lives. The Lord of all the earth knows our name. He knows every detail. He knows us completely. You know what else? He knows we'd be lost without him. Paul said, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And he loves us so much that he gave his only begotten Son for us. And he offers that salvation to everyone. John says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Even the worst of us. Even the worst of us. What? You mean my neighbor? You mean the guy I work with? Even him? You mean my boss? You mean that relative of mine? You gotta be kidding me. He can save everybody, but not that one. That one's long gone. God said, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they'll be as wool. Wow. And when we trust him, he welcomes us as sons and daughters. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We have what Jesus has. Wow. Not only that, he feels our hurts. In Hebrews, it says Jesus, our high priest, understands our weaknesses because he's been there. He's had that happen, though he never sinned in any of those. So then let's come boldly to the throne of God and to receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Not only that, he comforts us in our trials and our tribulations. He's the God of all comfort. And when he comforts us, then we have the ability to comfort other people who are having the same kinds of problems. And here's one of the great ones. He will never allow us to be lost. Woo! I give unto you, Jesus said, eternal life, and you will never perish. Neither will anyone pluck you out of my Father's hand, or out of my hand, and my Father's hand is greater than you, and nobody can get him out of his hand. Hallelujah. So what do we have to be thankful for? It's not because of who we are, because we're just a bunch of sinners. Isn't that what Bill Gaither wrote? We're just sinners saved by grace, right? It's because of what Jesus has done for us. He purchased us with his own blood. It's not by any kind of works that we did, not by works of righteousness, Paul said, but according to his mercy, he saved us. It's because of who Jesus is. He's a wonderful Savior. He died on a cross. He paid for our sins. He rose from the grave. He ascended from heaven. He lives in our hearts. And oh yeah, one day he's coming back to get us. Woo! Boy. All right, thank you. Somebody, hallelujah, he's coming to get us. How can we not be thankful for these kinds of things? So we're to express our thankfulness in everything. In what we think, what we speak, how we act. Thinking thankfully, we do that through our prayers, don't we? Paul said, don't be anxious for anything. Don't be anxious for anything. Don't be anxious for anything. Thank you. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. When we pray with thanksgiving, we're thanking God, number one, for the ability to pray, for answering our prayers, for freeing us from worry. Don't be anxious for anything. When we pray with thankfulness to God, it has a way of adjusting our thinking so that it falls in line with what God wants. So thinking, thankfully, involves prayer. But it also involves our vocal worship. It really does. Paul said, let the word of Christ dwell richly in you, teaching with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart. And that's what we've been doing this morning. We've been singing to the Lord and praising the Lord. You know, it's kind of hard to be grumpy and bitter and selfish when you're singing joyfully to the Lord. You know, but some people try anyway. I mean, I don't know. See, singing's supposed to lift our spirits. It's supposed to focus our attention on God. It's supposed to put us in an attitude of praise. And if that's not happening when you sing, you need to sit down and have a real good talk with the Lord. Thinking thankfully involves our prayer. It involves our worship. But you know what? Sometimes our minds can be so uncooperative. They really can. We keep wandering back to the money problems or the past failures or other stupid, unproductive things that have happened in our lives. Maybe a spat on the way to church. It's so easy to get distracted. And we have to train our minds to think good things. We have to purposely dwell on good things. That's what Paul said. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble and right and pure and lovely, admirable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything that's praiseworthy, think on those things. Whew. That's a great thought verse. We ought to be able to filter all of our thoughts through that verse. Ask yourself, are my thoughts true and noble? Are they right? Are they pure thoughts? Are they lovely? Are they admirable? Because if they're not, we need to adjust. We really do. We need to think thankfully. And we also need to talk thankfully. It's important to express our gratitude. Talking thankfully means we're praising God. We're praising others. We're sharing our gratitude. When was the last time you told your spouse, I'm really thankful for you? When did you tell your kids you really appreciate them? Do you thank your wife for cooking you dinner? That's a good one, guys. You need to thank your wife for cooking your dinner. Yeah. Do you tell your husband, ladies, that you're glad that he's your husband? Do you let God know how thankful you are for what he's done in your life? See, we have a lot to be thankful for. And it's also important that we verbally tell others what we're grateful for. So we're going to have an open forum here, guys. What are you grateful for? What are you thankful for? Amen. Somebody else? All of his blessings. Okay.
I hate cancer, but I'm thankful for the relationships that it has built within our lives.
Yes, indeed. Sometimes the devastating things draw you closer. Somebody else? Yeah. Thankful. Absolutely. Somebody else? Yes, Claudia. Okay.
In spite of our differences, I'm very thankful for my husband. It has been a total teaching experience for him. And most likely, if I could have married everybody. But God has taken some of the devil intended for harm.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Somebody else. You're thankful for Jesus. Amen. So am I. Rest of you aren't thankful, huh? Been a bad year? Just don't want to speak up, like kind of sitting there like bumps on a log? Yeah. Yes. Amen. Amen. That's wonderful. Amen. Amen. That's great. Somebody else.
The gift of salvation.
The gift of salvation. Jess? Amen. 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 Yes, indeed. Well, thank you all. It was great sharing. I really appreciate it because it's something that we should do at Thanksgiving, during the time of Thanksgiving. Let's let other people know how thankful we are because it's so amazing what God's doing in our lives. So we're to think thankfully, we're to talk thankfully, and thirdly, we're to act thankfully. Yes, ma'am.
And I'm very thankful for you because you tolerate me.
Thank you, Lydia. I appreciate that. See, we're to demonstrate a life of thankfulness in everything we do. Doesn't matter. In our service, for instance, we're to demonstrate our appreciation, our respect, our love. Because when we do it right, it's a blessing to both the server and to those you serve. And we've seen that in the Gardens of Gettysburg. It's been amazing. Paul said, I thank Jesus Christ our Lord who has given me strength, that he's considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. I wonder, are you thankful for the service that God has appointed you to? You say, well, he hasn't appointed me to anything. Really? He hasn't appointed you to do anything? Teaching or preaching or singing or praying or serving or playing instruments or just witnessing to other people? We all have an area of service. And we should act thankfully by sharing what we have with other people. And that doesn't just apply to sharing our stuff. More importantly, it applies to sharing our faith. Sharing our faith. Because if we have a real understanding of who Jesus is and what he's done for all of us and what he's done in your life and my life, we're going to look for every opportunity to tell other people about it. Paul said, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Wow. We can best show our appreciation for our salvation by praising God and by telling other people. Because if your faith really is transforming, if your faith really truly is valuable, if it's really important, we should share it with other people. Because when we focus on the great things that God has done for us, all the annoying junk in life just kind of fades into the background. So during this Thanksgiving season, let's begin to think thankfully. Let's take every opportunity to talk thankfully. And let's show our appreciation by acting thankfully. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks for everything. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation. So rich, so free. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful and thankful for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for his goodness and his love to us. Such great love that he would give his life so that we could have life. And Father, I just thank you for each person here. Thank you for the testimonies we heard about your gratefulness, your greatness, and our appreciation. Lord, how can we say thanks for all that you've done for us, but to praise you, to thank you, to let other people know about you. Father, as we conclude our service, may we understand that you love us and you want the very best for us. And I pray that we would seek your face in everything that we do. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.